You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colton Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan rig website, as well as the Locked On Wolves Twitter account at Locked On T Wolves. You can also check out my Twitter account at C Molesky, MOLESKY, to check out prior podcasts, stories, sports content, all that good stuff. Those are the places to go check it out, as well as make sure to check out the rest of the podcast on the Locked On NBA Network. Got a lot of hosts that are going to be giving you content into this free agency period, giving you a lot of angles on this basketball season coming out of, you know, when we're headed into free agency, draft, summer league, all that good stuff. Be the best, the most prepared that you can be for the coming season, and get all the good content you can via the Locked On NBA Network. Today, we got a lot of stuff free agency-wise to talk about, but I'm going to push that off another day. Also, just some housekeeping here. I will be bumping down to probably one or two shows a week. That's not going to happen for a little bit, but coming in July, I will bump down. I'm not sure which week. It might be the second or third week in July, but coming in July, I will bump down to one or two shows a week. Gets a lot slower during the off season. Obviously, now that we're through the draft, once free agency quiets down a little bit, I'll probably bump down to a show on Monday or Tuesday. Keep you guys posted when we get close to that. But just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. That will probably be going down to like a Tuesday, Thursday kind of setup. But then once the season gets kicked off again, we'll be well underway and back to the regular schedule of 5 days a week. So, also, I've been doing this show officially 1 year, and I just wanted to say I've had such a blast. I've gotten to know some of you fans over the course of the year. I've interacted with a few fans. I've learned a lot. I feel like I've hopefully you guys think so too, but I've gotten better. I've been able to give you pretty solid quality podcasts. I've really enjoyed talking Timberwolves, talking basketball with you guys. I always appreciate any feedback I get. Always appreciate that. Always appreciate communicating with the fans. Really appreciate you guys listening to me all the time and continually tuning in. I really do appreciate it, and I really have just had a crazy fun time doing this year, and I'm excited for another year. I'm excited to run it back throughout the rest of this season and into next year. So I just wanted to say I really, really do appreciate everything that you guys, the listeners, do for me, for us at the Locked On Network, for the podcast. Keep listening. Keep giving me input. Keep giving me your questions, your thoughts on the show, what I could be doing better, what you like that I'm doing. I appreciate all of it, and I appreciate you guys so much. So from the bottom of my heart, I really can't thank you guys enough for tuning in every single day. It has been so much fun, and I'm hoping that now starting into the second year of my campaign with the Locked On Network that we have an even better year. And so, yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys and tell you that I really do appreciate you and really have had a blast this last year. All right, so enough of the sappy stuff. Let's get down to business. So the NBA Awards were the other day, and I thought it would be fun. I'm going to look at the offseason a couple of ways, but I didn't just want to do the regular ranking. Oh, here's the 10th guy on the team. Here's the 6th guy on the team. Here's the first guy on the team. I thought that there's just a lot of places to do that. I didn't want to give a grade for every guy either. Like, oh, Wiggins got a D and Jimmy Butler got an A. I just feel like that's what everybody does. So I'm trying to come up with different ways to look at the team and how they performed last year. So I wanted to sprinkle some of those shows in throughout free agency and kind of give you a healthy mix of both. A healthy mix of Timberwolves free agency stuff, looking through the free agency through the lens of the Timberwolves and what they need and what realistically they can do. But I also wanted to kind of have some exit surveys, really take a look at some of these guys and how they did, how they performed. And that, I think, will help give us realistic expectations for what to expect from this team going into next year. So without further ado, this is my version of the NBA Awards Timberwolves edition. Timberwolves edition of the NBA Awards. So first off, I wanted to go MVP. Start backwards from where they do it, MVP, because I think that one's pretty obvious. Obviously, this is going to be Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is the MVP of this team. If you look at the stats from last year to this year, so if you go last year, the Timberwolves ranked offensive in just points per game, the Timberwolves ranked 13th at 105.6 points per game, shooting 46% from the field and 34% from three. Now, let's skip to this season with Jimmy Butler. The Timberwolves jumped to 8 in points per game with 109.5 points per game, 47% shooting from the field, 35% shooting from three. Now, I know like shooting percentage and stuff isn't that big of a jump, and that there was other additions to Jamal Crawford, Taj Gibson. You had Jeff Teague. You had Towns getting better. We'll get to him. And you obviously have Wiggins coming back. There's a lot of contributions, but the main change is that the Timberwolves got themselves a blue-chip player, and that's Jimmy Butler. If you guys weren't listening or don't remember, last summer talked about blue-chip players and what they do for the franchise, what it means to be a blue-chip player. But it's basically, the long and short of it is, it's basically somebody who you can put on any team and you know that they're going to be an instant upgrade on and off the court and that they're going to instantly start making your franchise better. And so there's probably, I would say 10, 13 players. I'd have to revise my list from last year. But there's probably 10, 13 blue-chip players in the NBA, maybe. Maybe it's more like 8, 11 blue-chip players in the NBA. And there's another 10, 15 fringe blue-chip players. But Jimmy Butler proved last year that he's one of those blue-chip players because he was that guy in Chicago, had some rocky seasons there to finish out. Really weird. You could do 2 hours, a massive feature article, 2 hours of radio or a massive feature article on that Chicago Bulls team that that Jimmy Butler was on his final season, that 2016-17 Chicago Bulls team, and how weird it was, and the locker room problems, and what was going on with that team. It was a very strange team, and I blame very little of that on Jimmy Butler and the frustrations that he was having with that team. I don't blame the problems of that team on Jimmy Butler very much at all, and I think that shows by him coming over and immediately boosting the stats for the Timberwolves. Another big one was defense. I know that the Timberwolves, not necessarily the best team, shows in the defensive rating for the Timberwolves, finishing 22nd in the NBA with a defensive rating of 108.4. But that, again, is another stat that made a pretty big jump. If you look at last season, the Timberwolves were ranked 26th. And if you really break it down, I know that you got to base it off of the entire season, but if you really break it down and look at the defensive rating by month, the Timberwolves, when they were really hot and when Jimmy Butler really took over the team in that December, January, the team had a defensive rating of, it was bounced around between 16 to 18 there. So really making a huge leap from last year. And when Jimmy Butler was really able to take over the team and really run everything the way he wanted to. That's when you saw the team at its very best, and I think that's the version of this team you'll see more of this coming season. So Jimmy Butler, MVP of the Timberwolves because of what he did for the team and the culture, making this team a winning organization, teaching these guys how to win, teaching these guys how to be successful, a young team, young players. I credit a lot of that to Jimmy Butler. Going over to Most Improved Player will be the next award I hand out. Most Improved Player on the Timberwolves, Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns, the double-double machine from last season. Karl-Anthony Towns averaged 21 points, 12 rebounds, and 1.4 blocks per game. Really impressive season. I really liked a lot of what you saw from Towns. I think that there was a couple of reasons that I would put him as most improved. First of all, I know that when you look at last year's stats, 25 points and 12 rebounds, you think, how is he most improved? He scored less points this season and he had the same amount of rebounds. You got to really look at the numbers when you're looking at what he did this year and his improvement. You're looking at things like his three-point percentage, 42% from three-point range, 36 last year, while he took, he was taking just a few more threes this year, shot 54% again from the field, back-to-back years. And you're looking at things like the fouls that he took, getting into the paint, getting to the line, more. I really like the dedicated effort he made, especially saw this in December, to really be the second guy on this team. And so he's the most improved player because he came in, I think that you saw Wiggins struggle a little bit trying to play and fit alongside Jimmy Butler. Towns, no such problems. Came in, improved his offensive rating from last year's 109.9 to this year's 113.6, 107.7 to from a 110.8 on the defensive rating. You saw him become a better defender. You saw him get better on the glass. I thought you saw him play more aggressive. There wasn't games, I know that he averaged the same amount of rebounds, but there wasn't games where he just went away on the glass and where he wasn't showing up on the boards. He was a consistent beast along the glass, and he was fighting for rebounds with Taj Gibson. To keep that number up was impressive. To be able to average over 20 points when you're adding pieces like Jeff T, when you're adding pieces like Jamal Crawford, Taj Gibson, you got Jimmy Butler. I thought that he proved that he was growing towards a superstar. And when he took over the team when Jimmy Butler went down is when you really saw that this guy has what it takes. He's got the ice in his veins. He's got that killer instinct, that dog in him that wants to go after another team, that wants to cut down opposing players. I really like when you saw him play the New Orleans Pelicans. I like when a player see somebody, you want them to be able to show up every single night, and you want them to prove all the time that they are who the hype says they are, obviously. But I really do enjoy personally when a player sees somebody who plays their position and who's going to be lining up where they line up, and they take it personally that they think they're better than them. Even if that's true, I like that they take it personally and they really go after the other guy on that team. And I thought you saw Towns and the Timberwolves do that against the Pelicans. And I thought you saw him really, the stats won't jump out at you, but I thought you saw him really out-muscle guys like Anthony Davis and Boogie Cousins. He averaged 14 rebounds against the New Orleans Pelicans. In the series, he averaged 11.8 rebounds against the New Orleans Pelicans in those in the four games that they played the Pelicans this year, I just thought that he played aggressive and he really was dedicated to winning, playing hard. You think back to, I believe it was the second game they played them, and he had the steal to finish out that game and ice that game, and the nice defensive play and the rebound. The series of plays in the last minute and a half, I think, showed just how he was going after Anthony Davis. And I like that. And I don't think that was the Towns you saw last year. The Towns you saw last year wasn't going to drop 56 points, even if it's against the Atlanta Hawks. He wasn't going to drop 56 points to save his team from losing against another bad team. And so I like that. I think that he's still got areas to grow, but I think this year you saw that he's going to keep making those improvements and keep becoming the star that people believe that he will turn into and that people believe he is. So that's my most improved player, my defensive player of the year. I'm going to go, you could give it to Jimmy Butler. I'm going to go a little off the beaten path here with this one, and I'm going to go with Taj Gibson as my defensive player of the year. First, though, before I do that, we're going to take a quick break for some sponsors. Taj Gibson, my defensive player of the year. Why is it Taj Gibson? Why isn't it Andrew Wiggins? Why isn't it Jimmy Butler? Taj Gibson was the quietest double-double machine, I think, maybe of the entire season. He ended up averaging 12 points and 7 rebounds, but I think the stats would fool you. I think that he was a huge presence for this team, especially defensively. And the game that really illustrates this well is the game he had against the Denver Nuggets in that final game of the season, where he was muscling with Nikola Jokic. He was playing really physical. He was grabbing boards. He messed up that inbounds play and got the steal to finish out that game. He was not giving Jokic looks after he started knocking down those threes in the second half. He was not giving him looks. He was playing all over the place. And for somebody who is 33 years old and plays against young guys like that who can stretch the floor, and to play power forward against those guys, to kind of flip the switch from old school power forward to playing inside out defense like that, game in and game out, and to give the Timberwolves that 33 minutes a game for 82 games throughout the season, that was really impressive. And it was really impressive that he held up really great to get the 18 double doubles that he gave the Timberwolves. And they'd be really quiet. They'd be kind of quiet double doubles, but they were huge double doubles. So there'd be plenty of games where the Timberwolves, you'd have like an off night from Towns to start out, or Wiggins wouldn't be knocking down shots again. And you're thinking, this team has to pick it up around Butler. How are they still in this game? And then you look at the box score and go into halftime, you have like 10 rebounds and 11 points from Taj Gibson, or going into the mid-third quarter, 10 rebounds, 11 points from Taj Gibson. And those kind of things, while they're not going to knock you off your seat off the box score, those numbers are so important. And the rebounds that he would grab, the second chance opportunities, averaging nearly 2.5 offensive boards a game, when he would really make his presence known in a basketball game, it was huge. And he did it in a way where he could lock up a guy and you could not notice him. If you're looking at the box score, you could not notice him, but he would be such a huge defensive presence. And then on the flip side, if he was really going after rebounds, it's because he was compensating for somebody else not grabbing boards. He didn't ever take too much of a presence up on this team because he knew he had a veteran role to fill and he had a veteran place to take on this roster, and he needed to be developing these young guys. But he also didn't fade entirely into the background. So he's my defensive player of the year because you could trust him to lock up the guy he was going to go against and to play inside-out basketball to extend that game despite being 33 years old and playing a huge uptick in minutes from what he was used to, especially the last couple of years playing 21 minutes with the Thunder, 27 minutes with the Bulls per game last season, 26 minutes per game with the Bulls the year before, to jumping to 33, to still be able to get that defensive production, and to be able to trust him to compensate for rebounds when other guys just weren't grabbing the boards, that was huge. And so he's my defensive player of the year. To finish this out, we're going to go sixth man. This one was another obvious one. This one is Jamal Crawford, the man who's no longer on the Timberwolves, but Jamal Crawford is the sixth man of the year. There are so many games for Crawford where if he doesn't get his 20 points off the bench, they probably don't win the game. There's at least 7 to 8 games where Jamal Crawford came off the bench and saved a basketball game for the Timberwolves. Ended up with 10.3 points per game, shot 41% from the field, 33% from three-point range. He was really important because he was the three-point shooter for the Timberwolves, averaging 3.9 three-point attempts per game for the Timberwolves. Timberwolves not a team that are going to take a ton of threes. You saw that a ton last year, hammered that home a lot. That was one of the big weaknesses for the Timberwolves, is they're not going to take a ton of threes. And so when you have guys like Wiggins, who was really having trouble just dedicating himself to taking threes, when you have guys like Jimmy Butler, who it was never really in his forte. He averaged 3.9 three-point attempts per game. It was never really part of his forte to take a bunch of threes, and you weren't going to see him extend the game a lot. So to have one of the top three-point shooting players on your team come off the bench and be dependable, you can say what you want about his defense, but offensively, you could trust Jamal Crawford to come in and knock down shots and add a spark, rejuvenate the starters, give something to the second unit. And the other thing, too, when you're picking six men of the year for the Timberwolves in a Tibbs-run system, you're not going to have a lot of options. There wasn't a lot of guys who made their impact as consistently as Jamal Crawford, because there wasn't anybody who was getting as many minutes as Jamal Crawford was off the bench. 20 minutes off the bench through 80 games played. Nobody else was getting that. Tyus Jones obviously got the start for a few games when Jeff Teague went down. He wasn't getting these kind of minutes, though, coming off the bench. Gorgie wasn't getting these kind of minutes coming off the bench. So, really, Jamal Crawford was the only choice here for a lot of reasons, but most primarily because he was a dependable offensive piece who consistently, there's guys who stretch the floor at times for the Timberwolves, but consistently, Jamal Crawford would help this team stretch the floor coming off the bench, give them a spark coming off the bench, and he would open stuff up for Towns, he'd open stuff up for Taj Gibson, for Jimmy Butler in the mid-range. He was a huge part of this team, and it's a little bit of a bummer not to have him next season. I think that there's some things that they can do to compensate. I think some of these draft picks can help compensate, but it's going to be a bummer not to have him back. But he is the sixth man of the year. All right, so that's the Timberwolves edition of the award show. Hope you enjoyed this format. Let me know what you think. And I'm going to keep trying to find creative ways to kind of break down the production of the Timberwolves last season to help you going forward into next season. So thank you very much for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.